Pacifica, Bill Hendrick.
And a very, very pleasant good evening or good morning to you. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Truth is our bitch. We're here at the El Pacifico every night with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and Margaret Gray, and a variety of guests that we will be bringing on with us throughout the evening, and people calling in. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. We really encourage you to join us at philhendryshow.com. It's when we talk about a subscription site, which is what ours is, it's very difficult, I think, and I appreciate this. I really do. I appreciate people being confused. They're thinking, well, what a radio show? Why that? You know, you need to understand that our site is unlike any other in radio. It's unlike any other really in media. We have an enormous library of radio shows, comedy and satire, that is considered to be, if I do say so myself, among the cutting edge in the history of radio. And so I would really encourage you to get a backstage pass. It's $9.95 a month. It's just,
Well, you know, a lot of people, that's significant.
Yeah, but what? $9.95, all you can do is cut out a donut and everything.
Well, don't tell people that.
Yeah, but let's not characterize people's habits.
You know full well if they cut a donut out.
One donut. Is that what you're saying?
No, I said a donut.
You're saying a donut. You mean more than one donut?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, more than one donut. I don't even think that's going to do it. I don't spend any money on donuts per month. Zero money on donuts.
And you're saying you don't have the $10?
No, I have the I don't need the $10 because I have a...
You don't pay a subscription?
Of course I don't.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
Why don't you pay a subscription fee?
Because I own the business. What the hell?
It's like paying Paul to pay Peter.
Would you ask him to watch his language, please?
What do you mean, watch his language?
He's doing something with his Peter.
He said Peter.
I heard what he said. He said something about paying for the.
Yeah, I said paying for the Peter.
He didn't say paying for Peter, or whatever it is. He said Peter paying Paul. Do you know the saying, you pay Paul to pay Peter?
No, I don't.
I don't know it either.
Well, there is such a saying, okay? Just trust me on this, please. Paying Paul, borrowing from Paul to pay Peter, I think is the saying. And that's what Bud's basically saying. That's what I'm saying. Why? I'm going to pull money out of my pocket, give it to my website, and then I'm just taking it back in salary? What the hell is that? Although, you know, I suppose I can, you know, it's one subscription number that we can use when we're talking to advertisers. But nonetheless, go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com and enjoy it. You'll love it. You'll be all over it. You'll be all over it like white on rice. All right.
Well, that is such a glorious and glowing advertising slogan. You'll be all over it like white on rice.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good and everything.
Well, I agree with Margaret.
I understand you're joking, but it's almost as if you've draped yourself over it and you're sweating on it. Isn't it?
Not really. It's just, yeah. All right, so welcome to our show, and a number of things to discuss this evening. One of them is Mr. Stephen Bozell coming on the program, I think, in a few minutes. He's going to talk about, Bozell is going to come on here and talk about, it might be having something to do with the South Africa murder charge. This Oscar Pistorius story is bizarre, and he is the, as you know...
Well, he's the paddlefoot.
Can we not use paddlefoot, please?
Yeah, I told you not to use it.
I'm talking to Phil. I use that term... I'm sorry, Phil. I thought it was funny. It's not funny. It's not satirical or whatever.
No, it's just kind of the paddlefoot is kind of... It's you did that, and I don't think it's funny anymore.
Oh, I see. So it's stale.
Yes, it is stale. Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, Margaret... the case against Oscar Pistorius in South Africa took another, or as they say down there, South Africa, is...
But, you know, do it. Let Bud do it.
Let Bud do what?
Not that this is a... Is he going to do the Gandhi thing?
Are you talking about Sammy?
Yeah, let's do it. Gandhi! I want Gandhi! Where's the Sammy that did it?
Yeah, man, you got to admit, that's almost dead on like the guy in the movie.
I don't even know what part of the movie you're talking about. Gandhi, I want Gandhi...
It's when Gandhi is taken from the prison to meet General Smuts, who is the prime minister of, as you said, Phil, South Africa. And I'm having a very hard time believing that name, Smuts. I think that's a Hollywood invention. But nonetheless, when Mr. Gandhi is retrieved from the prison...
Yeah, and...
excuse me. When Mr. Gandhi is retrieved from the prison, then a rather loutish, stocky and very loutish prison guard, comes into the prison, and he's very stocky and in a very loutish way, and he's stocky.
Yeah, and he's loutish.
Yes. And he says, Gandhi, I want Gandhi, which Sammy is it? And I think that's what you just heard is a far better rendering of it than what Bud's doing.
Well, I think Bud is trying to be in character here.
I'm sorry. Phil, I tell you what, let me get some soda water.
Yeah, you get soda water, you're going to be belching more.
You got to belch more.
Well, maybe that's what I want to do.
All right, so Oscar Pistorius...
No, let me do it. Just one more. Gandhi, which Gandhi is it? I want the Sammy.
That ain't what it is. That's not what you did originally.
No, I'm all in. Gandhi, I want Gandhi.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Gandhi, I want Gandhi. Where... What, Sammy?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Gandhi, I want Gandhi. Sammy...
Oh, boy, Bud. You know, there comes a time when you just got to look at a guy. I know you're dumb, but come on, man. You can't remember... Gandhi, I want Gandhi. Which Sammy is it?
Yeah, that's it. Hold on. Gandhi, I want Gandhi. What a Sammy. Where's Sammy is it?
What Sammy is it, man? Not where.
What?
Now you're going to start bawling? Is this what we get? This is the kind of crew that I have, guys that are crying over stupid stuff. The case against Oscar Pistorius took another... Where are you going, man? Getting a handkerchief.
Would you get away from this? That's toilet paper that I brought in from home... And
can we please just concentrate here?
I brought that toilet paper in from home, and he's blowing. He's got his nose shoved in it. Oh, God. Lord.
What happened?
Well, look at it, Phil.
Get that out. Well, wait.
It'll blow my nose on it.
Well, don't bring it in here, will you? Just throw it in the garbage.
The point I'm making is I brought that toilet paper in from home. He shoved his nose in it. And look what we've got. It's like some tissue you find under a newly adolescent boy's bed.
Oh, that's just fantastic, Margaret. Some of this, that's just great.
Quit playing it like you're a virgin.
The case against Oscar Pistorius took another astonishing turn on Thursday when the lead detective investigating the case was sacked, which is what they call being fired in South Africa, after being charged with 7 counts of attempted murder. Are you ready for this? Boy, South Africa is almost as interesting as America. It emerged that Hilton Botha, everybody down there is named Botha, but it's kind of like in, if you've ever been to the Cayman Islands, everybody there is named Baden. So it's like one big family in South Africa named Botha. They even had a prime minister named Botha. And in the Cayman Islands, everybody's Baden. Baden this, Baden that. They got the pilot we had on Air Jamaica's name was Baden. And then I saw that jewelry store was Baden Jewelry. Then I saw a marine place, Baden Marine. And then I saw every store, every profession, every doctor, Baden.
No, they're all inbred.
I wouldn't say inbred. I would say that it's a very common last name that it, obviously at some point merges into a singular family tree trunk, if you will.
So that is technically incest.
No, it's not. Not if you go back enough. What happened here, man? I had a little bit of a technical malfeasance. You know, we have to watch what we're hitting around here, Bud. Do you understand when you're hitting buttons and stuff? All right, let me just move on. It emerged that Hilton Botha, who had given an unconvincing performance in the witness stand on Wednesday, and 2 other police officers are accused of drunkenly firing shots at a minibus carrying 7 passengers in October of 2011. The case had previously been dropped, but the charges against Botha were reinstated on Wednesday as he argued before Pretoria Magistrates Court for Pistorius to be denied bail. The long-serving officer is due to appear in court in May. Here's a cop that's arguing before the magistrate, and apparently, according to our good, close, personal friend Dan Northcraft, who did some research on this, Dan's not only an engineer, but he is he's a part-time magistrate in the court system in Medford, and he has thrown a lot of the scum of Medford, Oregon, in prison. Thank you very much, Dan, for your service.
Really?
I'm kidding.
What do you mean you're kidding?
I'm kidding. Are you nuts?
Well, why do you say that?
Because it was funny.
He's not throwing any scum.
No, he ain't throwing any scum. Probably, I'm not saying he hasn't dealt with scum, but, you know, I'm not going to discuss it because it might have been quasi-legal. All right, in any event, this guy Botha is one of the arresting officers. He's arguing so that Pistorius is denied bail, and while he's arguing that Pistorius be denied bail, it is brought up that this guy has been charged with attempted murder as a drunken cop. I don't know if they were on duty or not, but they fired shots at a minibus carrying seven passengers in October 2011. That is beyond belief. Both appeared in court. I mean, if I heard about American police officers under the color of authority, I mean, we've seen a lot of police brutality in this country, there's no question. But drunk cops, drunk, uniform drunk, and pulling their weapons and firing at citizens. What? You know.
Well, you know, Mr. They weren't that drunk, but they pulled out fire hoses.
No. I understand that. I know the cops have behaved in a terrible manner. In the case of, you, for instance, when you talk about the civil rights police brutality, those were cops that were under orders. Now, a lot of them, it was brutal, and it was illegal, and it was unconstitutional how they behaved. But they were cops that were told, go in there, take that stick, bust open heads. I'm not forgiving them, okay? What I am saying, though, is that it wasn't like they were drunk and acting independent of any command. They were actually...
Yes, they had a nice, strong command structure of criminality and terrorists.
I don't want to get into this, okay? It's just going to get too...
Well, why not? I think you've opened up this can of worms.
No, I'm not. No. We can talk about it later. Both appeared in court again on Thursday as the prosecution and defense traded blows, if you'll pardon the expression, over what happened on the night... take it easy, bud.
Nah, man.
On the night that Pistorius shot dead his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, a decision as to whether to grant Pistorius bail or not is due on Friday. The conduct of the South African police is already a subject of judicial inquiry after officers shot dead 34 striking mine workers at Marikana last year. With the eyes of the world now on the Pistorius case, the National Police Commissioner sought to regain public confidence and quelled fears of a bungled investigation. Ria Piega announced, this is the general of the police, announced that Botha had been removed from the case and replaced with a lieutenant general. They got cats, the police structure down there is all paramilitary-like. And, you know, it seems to me that police forces are subject to the influence of what came before. What is the command structure and what are the rules of the game? And the South African police are obviously they've been influenced and they've been modeled on in some ways the police forces that came before them in South Africa. And this was a society of apartheid. This was a segregated, racially segregated society. So the cops were given certain powers and leeways in enforcing that, for instance, here in America, we wouldn't sit still for. We had to tell a guy to get off a sidewalk or where's your identification, whatever the hell it is. Now, I'm not saying the cops today are like that, but this is the model. And even if you're saying, all right, I don't want to do that anymore.
Well, you're doing news talk now. Is this what you want to do?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, and I've just been told we have to break.
Yeah, see, that's what's called... It's a synchronicity to tell you to stop butchering it.
Yeah, okay, thanks. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Stephen Bozell joining us here in just a moment from Corona, California, with his thoughts and fears and feelings and his whining. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Woo-hoo!
Something happened today, and we're going to get into a little bit of the detail with Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who has not just a business. He's a father. He is a husband and is a contributor of ours on a number of our shows. Mr. Bozell has been with us as we talk about education and as a business owner. He's also talked with us about politics, about taxes. Steve Bozell joins us from Corona, California. Now, I don't know how many of you guys know this, and Steve, you give us the background. The 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States abolishes slavery, correct?
Yes, sir, that's exactly correct, yeah.
And Mississippi today officially ratified it.
Yes, sir, that is correct. And this was information, too, that I don't think is generally known.
Not by the American populace at large. Do you think it was something that was sort of known, though, in the state of Mississippi?
Well, I think it depends on who you talk to, and it presents, I think, a very difficult quandary, because for those of us who have struggled in this economy, and I have with my business, and a great many people have with the businesses that they've tried to start and that they've tried to nurture through a very tough economy, this is information that if I'd been living in Mississippi, and I had availed myself of this information, I might have been able, if I were a business owner in Mississippi, I might have been able to use this information to change the fortunes of any economic tide that might occur.
All right, well, let me read this, because I know there's a lot of people scratching their head right now. They say, what are you guys talking about? Mississippi ratified the 13th Amendment. Here is the story, folks. Mississippi officially abolishes slavery, ratifies the 13th Amendment. Can I ask you where you are, Mr. Bozell?
All right. Well, you know, I'm near a generator, Phil. I'm going to move out of the way. We're still pouring cement. We're on a job site here.
Oh, so you're on a construction site now?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bozell is the owner of a construction company. Yeah, I appreciate that, if you can move a little bit away from that. Mississippi officially abolishes slavery, ratifies the 13th Amendment. Now, get a load of this. Two medical school colleagues, one an immigrant from India, the other a lifelong Mississippian, joined forces to resolve a historical oversight that until this month had never officially been corrected. The oversight was no small one either. On February the 7th of 2013, the state of Mississippi had never submitted the required documentation until February 7th, 2013, the state of Mississippi had never submitted the required documentation to ratify the 13th Amendment, meaning it never officially had abolished slavery. The amendment was adopted in December of 1865 after the necessary three-fourths of the then 36 states voted in favor of ratification. Mississippi, however, was a holdout at the time. State lawmakers were upset that they had not been compensated for the value of their freed slaves. Bud, this got misprinted. We may want to print it off again. So, Steve, that's the background.
Again, it's just as you read it. It was an oversight. The documentation had not been submitted. The individuals in Mississippi, in the person of their legislators, had certain grievances. And as a result of that, Phil, the slavery in the state was officially, and I say officially, it was legal. I'm not saying that is a good state of affairs at all. That's a bad state of affairs. It was legal, and people who, I would imagine, and this is what I had my conversation with Representative Dell, who is a state representative in Mississippi, and also Bob Begare, who is a state senator in Mississippi. I was in a bit of a quandary, because I said to them, if you have legal slavery in your state, you know. And
well, I mean, was the slavery was legal?
Technically, yes, sir. And I said, if you have that, and I told them that I had, in moving my family, we had come to California in 99, and I was involved at that time in getting a construction business up and running. Had I been aware, and again, I want people to understand me very carefully, I don't think that slavery in the least is anything that I would... I'm an American, and I believe in the rights of human beings, but if you're an American, I think that's the first thing you believe in, human rights, and you believe in... You know, we've gone to war.
That's right.
As a country, we've gone to war for people's, you know, for the rights of people. And I believe in that. And I believe in America. I also believe in American law. And I took my family to California to start our business because times were a little bit down in Tennessee, where we're from, Knoxville, Tennessee. I find out that in Mississippi, they had a situation that, and I'm only saying this technically from a business climate standpoint, that was...
You're talking about the economic benefits?
No, sir. No, I don't want to put it that way. I want to put it a different way.
It sounds like you're preparing the ground here, Mr. Bozell, to say that slavery in some way might have benefited your business.
I'm trying to say that this is information during an economic situation that's bad, real bad, that people could have used.
All right, I'll tell you what. We'll get back to you, Stephen Bozell, and you guys as we talk here about Mississippi actually ratifying the anti-slavery amendment, the 13th Amendment, in early February of this year. You ready for that? They've never ratified it. We'll be back in the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, as we talk about the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States not being ratified until early February, early this month, in this year, 2013, if you can believe that, in Mississippi. It was not officially ratified in Mississippi. The argument being, therefore, that slavery was still legal in Mississippi. I don't know that that's the case, Mr. Bozell.
Well, why? Why do you say that?
Because... it took three-quarters of the states to ratify the bill that was the amendment. Three-quarters of the states did ratify it. And so does it matter what the other one-quarter of the states does or doesn't do?
Well, you know, you still have to technically, in my opinion, and in what I've read and how I personally would, you know, go about, you know, doing it and the things that I do, you know, you still have to ratify it.
Mr. Bozell, when you say the things that you would do, you're not the governor of the state, and no man can just decide.
I'm not saying that I'd lord it over everyone and be all, here's how it's going to happen, but it makes sense to me. If you don't ratify, and my point is simply this. My point is simply this. I would have appreciated had the state of Mississippi, the Chamber of Commerce of Mississippi, as well as the Chamber of Commerce, United States Chamber of Commerce, given a heads up to business people, especially in that region of the country, who are looking to, get some economic relief. And this is a very touchy area, I know, because you don't want to say that you want slaves. And I don't want to say that I want slaves. And I would never, you know, want that. But at the same time, I've got a family to feed. I've got a business to keep running. And late 90s, things, as the dot-com bubble started to just blow up and just exploded all over. Everybody just got, you know, drenched with it. And I'm a little bit nervous, sir.
You're doing fine, Mr. Bozell. Just slow down. You're saying the dot-com bubble exploded, and so times were bad for some of you, and you decided to move your business, and you would have moved to Mississippi had you known that slavery was legal, because I'm going to have to assume you would have taken advantage of the fact that you could hire slaves. Is that...
That's why I want to put it my way. You're putting it in a way that is going to reflect poorly on me. I would say that if it is legal for however long it's legal, if it is technically legal for however long it's legal in the state of Mississippi, then it would have been, in my opinion, the responsibility. It would have been incumbent on the state of Mississippi Chamber of Commerce, the United States Chamber of Commerce, and other businesses to at least alert business people to the, it's difficult to say this, but to the benefits.
Well, there's no benefits to slavery.
No, yes, sir, I understand that.
Mr. Bozell, and as Phil said it so very well, there's no benefits to slavery, and even if there were benefits to slavery, are you going to be a man in the state of Mississippi who will have slave labor working for him?
Well, it would not have been for a long time.
Who would have slave labor working for him, and you would be taking the public relations hit, okay? Hold on, I'm not done. You'd be taking the public relations hit, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I don't...
Oh, okay, so in other words, so you would be known as the slave-owning businessman.
No, I would not be, because I couldn't be the only one, and I don't want to own slaves. You don't understand. I would have slaves work there.
How would you have slaves work there? How would you go about having a man work for your construction company without being paid?
I didn't say that I wouldn't pay him.
Well, what if he's a slave, he doesn't have to be paid.
I understand that, yeah. But I would certainly provide some compensation.
Well, how much would you pay him?
Well, I mean, I would pay him in ways that he would appreciate. You're obviously, if an individual is a slave and if slavery is legal, then you do have some prerogative, and I would not use those. I'm sure there's a great many who would use some of these punitive measures that you are legally, you know, you can against a slave, you know, and I would never do it.
Well, what are you talking about? Beating, flogging?
Yeah, well, yes, sir. I would never do anything like that. So I'd say, as a slave, if I was a master, you know, it's a tough thing to say.
Mr. Bozell, this is Margaret Gray. It sounds to me like your youth. Do you delight in the idea of being a master?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Well, you're talking about if I was the master, I would not this and that.
I'm saying if I was the master of the slaves that I had, I would not engage in flogging them. No, sir. I mean, no, ma'am. And
all right. So I'm supposed to sit here and say, as the judge of the judiciary of Mississippi or the United States government, say, well, Mr. Bozell, technically you're right. You have the right to own slaves or have slave labor, and the fact that you're not beating them, you know, you are a very cool guy. Now,
I didn't say I was a cool guy, Mr. Henry. Let's not get ridiculous.
Well, no, but I'm not. Sorry, but what I'm saying is this is kind of an argument that's been made for many, many centuries, for many, many decades on into this century and beyond, where people have said...
I'm sorry, on into this century and beyond. Now you're into Star Trek.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about futurism now. You're talking about science fiction.
What I meant to say is on to the 20th century and beyond.
Okay, but I mean, then that means we're just... Could be 1960 or something.
All right, are we going to quibble over this?
No, but I mean, what do you mean?
What I mean is, for many, 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 many decades, the attitude has been that there were some slave owners that were kind, that there were slave owners that were benign, that there were slave owners that were sweet and loving, and they treated their slaves like children. They treated them like relatives, that they, you know, the idea that Thomas Jefferson had some loving relationship with Sally Hemings, I think that's one of the greatest... I think that's obscene to say that you can have a consensual relationship with a woman who's a slave. Did she really have any choice?
Well, Mr. Henry, you're talking now about one of the presidents and one of the founders, and this is the point I wanted to make. You're talking about Thomas Jefferson, one of the presidents, one of the founders of America, and now you're saying he was getting his jollies and getting his cookies with a slave.
I didn't say anything about getting his cookies, okay?
Well, I mean, you're basically saying that Jefferson he was some kind of an animal.
Well, I'm just saying he was a man of his time. I'm not saying he was an animal, but he was a man of his times, which meant you could take liberties with slaves, female slaves. Maybe he was a very kind guy. Maybe he didn't... maybe he wasn't rough with her. Maybe he wasn't mean to her. Maybe he let her sleep in the house and let her, you know, use the kitchen. But the fact is... It was against her will. Are you saying that you'd be that kind of a slave owner?
I'm saying that had we been told by the state of Mississippi, and all I'm trying to say, had the people of Mississippi and the state of Mississippi been awake and been conscious and been doing their duty and doing their due diligence.
And their due diligence.
Yes, sir. Their due diligence. Had they done that, I would have been alerted to the fact that I can move my family south to Mississippi, start a business, and if I wanted to, and I'm not saying that I would, I could legally have a slave to do, you know, my bidding or however you want. I don't know what you do.
You don't. That's not what you say. You say, if you have a slave, you don't say he gets to do my bidding.
Well, yeah, you can, because you can make it do anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't want to do that, Mr. Henry. I wouldn't do that to a human being, but I would want to have a slave that would do my bidding. And
what does that mean, do your bidding?
If he's a slave, and that would help my business. The overhead comes down when you don't pay them. Mississippi said nothing. The state of California said nothing. Nobody in California said, you know, you're here and welcome to the Golden State, but you missed a, you know, you blew it. You blew it big when you went by Mississippi and headed straight out here, because down there you could have, you know, one of them do your bidding. And I at that time, I had said to one of the people at the California Chamber of Commerce, I said, do you, and I remember cursing, and my wife said to me, what are you cursing about? I said, because of the the slave situation in Mississippi. We could have had one. And I asked the California Employment Department individual, I said, do you still have what these Chinese that are putting in railroads and sitting on the side of the railroad track with a laundry and all that, you know?
And what were you hoping to, Mr. Bozell, you were hoping to discover or find some period of American history where there are slaves and indentured servants and a feudal system of sorts, and your business would benefit from this.
Well, the fact is, sir, it was legal, and that's what people are not saying. It was legal in the state of Mississippi to have a houseboy or to have a houseboy or have a field boy and have them do the bidding of me, which I'd be the overseer.
And these words you're using, master, overseer, these are very charged. They're very, very, very destructive words. They scare people.
I don't know.
Our number 87. Well, you don't know. I mean, you've read history of the period.
Well, Phil, I think what Mr. Bozell is saying, he doesn't. I don't think any of us like slavery. We're not saying that we want slavery. We're not saying that we want to bring it back. But if there is a economic benefit, okay. Okay, Phil?
Yes, I'm listening to you, Margaret. We got to, you know.
Oh, well, then forget it.
You know, Margaret, because I'm asking you to move along.
Never mind.
Go ahead, Steve.
Go ahead. I mean, I don't have any.
All right, so we're talking with Stephen Bozell about slavery being legal in, believe it or not, in Mississippi up until early February. At least that's what they're claiming. Mississippi did not ratify the 13th Amendment until this very month. And that was, of course, the cornerstone of the movie about Lincoln made by Steven Spielberg with Daniel Day-Lewis. It was about, at the end of the Civil War, it was about Lincoln, President Lincoln, pushing to get the 13th Amendment ratified to get this thing done. And it was an interesting look at the legislative process. 877-876-7445 is the number. Would you mind taking some calls, sir?
I don't know if you'll allow me to.
We would allow you to.
All right.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell with us here as we talk about the 13th Amendment of the United States not ratified by Mississippi until earlier this month. That meant, legally, in the opinion of some, slavery was still legal in Mississippi, and Mr. Bozell and other business people, while not enamored of slavery, certainly would have benefited economically from it. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Can we get a chocolate milk?
You want a chocolate milk?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're at home.
Oh, that's right.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhendryshow.com. Stephen Bozell is with us. He is a businessman from Corona, California, as we discussed. Really interesting news story about the 13th Amendment not being ratified by the state of Mississippi. Now, again, we'd have to have a legal expert advise us, but the Constitution calls for three-quarters of the states. At that time, there were 36 states. To ratify a proposed amendment to make it law. One of the things that has to happen is Congress needs to pass it, and then it goes to the state legislators and the state legislatures, and they must ratify that. And you're saying because Mississippi was not one of the ratifying states, you have a right to enslave someone.
Yeah, and again, I do not advocate it, Mr. Henry. I'm not very proud of it. You know, I would not be proud of it. But if you're a businessman and you are looking to find a way out of a dark, dark, very dark and difficult period, which as we began to move into the 21st century, we saw, as I said, the stock market beginning to cave in here and cave in there. A lot of the money was drying up. And I was not given even so much as the opportunity to know that slavery was technically legal. I'm not saying I would have availed myself of it, but they, you know, I just don't know why it is that something in California didn't say anything to me.
What did you think California was going to say?
Well, when we got to California, my wife April looked at these people at the California rest stop. They have these welcome centers, and they go, we go in, we had a glad, they give you orange juice and tell you about you know, how California got, how it happened and everything. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and I kept waiting for them to say, by the way, on coming out here on your left, if you just turned left, you would have gone down to Mississippi and your problems would have been over, you know.
Well, they're not going to say that.
No, yeah, I understand that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to go to RC calling us tonight. RC, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil, great show as always. Mr. Bozell.
My name.
His name's Bozell.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bozell.
Slow down, kid. You know, just take it easy.
I'm in a military academy in Aladena, California, sir.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
Well, you say God bless me, but I'm going to fight for America because I do believe, and I always will believe, in the importance of America and the Constitution of it, too. And you wanting to put a man in chains and...
No, sir, I did not say that. No, sir, I did not say that.
You did say that you'd wanted to have had a given the heads up on it. And I'm, you know, as a high school student, technically that's what I am, as well as a military academy cadet, okay? Technically, when you go, you know, I want to get a heads up, and you're talking about people that can't say no, they cannot say no to you, as Mr. Henry was trying to explain, and you've got a lady slave, and you're all, yeah, I want to get a heads up, yeah.
He was not talking about that. He's talking about how...
Well, Mr. Henry, I mean, as a member of a military academy and somebody that wants to make the United States military my life and a citizen's on your... You know, let me tell you something, Mr. Citizen, Mr. Bozell, citizen, sir. I don't fight for slave owners. I fight for free people.
Mr. Sir, excuse me, young man. I'm not saying that I'm a slave. I'm not a slave owner. You know...
Every argument that you're making here on the Phil Hendry Show tonight, in the things that I heard when we were driving back from band practice, and
what band? Are you in the?
You know, I don't want to talk. Yeah, I'm in the marching band for the Bradley Military Academy marching band. We're practicing for the Commandant's Ball that's coming up this spring, and we've got a lot of social events. And I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be in my dress uniform. With some of the young ladies from Mount Jovison's, which is the Young Ladies Academy, and we share a lot of the social events with them, and I'll be in my dress uniform, dancing and going to the punch and the punch bowl, and everything with my hat under my arm, stuff that I've dreamed about my whole life.
Sir, but
just one more thing, and then I'm going to the punch bowl. With a beautiful young lady, and essentially what you've done is you've dropped that, well, there we go, that turd into it. So I'm looking down at something brown. It floats. So I know it's there, and yet I still got to put my punch drink cup, the thing that you used to, you know, the punch drink cup.
Your punch glass.
No, it ain't a punch glass. What is it called?
I don't know what he's talking about.
You, all right, never mind.
Well, I gotta still stick it down in there as Mary Lou or whoever the girl is that I decide that I'm going to take, as she looks on over my shoulder smilingly and adoringly, and I'm pulling punch out of a punch bowl with one of your turds floating in it, sir.
No, sir, that is not fair.
Can we clean this up a little bit? I think it's getting a little bit graphic.
Mr. Henry, we're talking about slavery. How much more graphic? Hey, Mr. Citizen Bozell, how much more... Are you telling me that that's too, is it all ooh, on account of your, slavery is ooh to me. Slavery to me is like ooh.
I didn't say ooh, and I'm not saying nothing. Mr. Henry's the one that took exception to it. And
I did take exception to you talking about this turd in a punch bowl, okay?
Well, I mean, that's exactly what it is, Mr. Henry. If Mr. Bo, you know, Mr. Bowman or Mr. Bozell, I'm sorry.
Yeah, my name's Steve Bozell. It's okay. People have often just run right over my name as if it's a dead man in the road, and they've decided to go ahead and roll on through because it's dead. How much more can be done? You know, and...
What?
What are you talking... That's your name, sir. It's not a dead body.
Excuse me. That's my father's name, okay? That's got my father's sweat and blood all over it, my name. So if you want to run it over like it's already dead, go ahead. I'm just going to pick it up, dust it off, bandage it, and, you know, sign and use it. And, you know.
And use it as your name?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, the sarcasm here is a little thick. What is the point here, R.C.? I understand, I agree with you, that slavery, and it's un-American, and there's nothing that can be said. All right, and I think, Mr. Bozell, you as much as you would like people to believe that you are not you don't support slavery, this was a necessary thing.
Yes, sir, I'm not saying that. I've just wanted the opportunity. And that's what nobody has been giving me the opportunity to do. I just wanted the opportunity to consider slavery.
Yeah, see, right there, that I'd have a really hard time.
Can I just finish what I'm saying here?
Yeah, you gotta finish up, R.C.
Well, whose side are you on, Dickman, anyway? I mean, this citizen here...
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show talking with Mr. Stephen Bozell about the fact that the 13th Amendment to the United States had not been ratified by Mississippi. That is the Anti-Slavery Amendment. And that technically slavery was still legal in Mississippi on through the early part of February this month, this year. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, get all dramatic.
What do you mean, get all dramatic?
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
No, I'm not too dramatic. Well, that's the way I wanted to do it.
That's what you sounded like, Mr. Henry, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And you.